Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Dham Atma Jaya Drishti Bir Antaratmana.
Atma Jaya Drishti Bir
Duranta Bhava Parire Bire Patim Nirutam Apya Shravat Ambu Netrayor
Nirutam Apya Shravat Ambu Netrayor
Vilajatina Bhrigo Varya Vaiklavat Tam Atma Jaya Drishti Bir Antaratmana
Atma Jaya Drishti Bir Antaratmana
Duranta Bhava Parire Bire Patim Nirudham Apya Shravat Ambu Netrayor Vilajatinam Vrigovarya Vaiklavat Tam,
him, the Lord,
Atma Jai,
by the sons,
Drishtibihi, by the sight, Antara Atmana,
by the innermost part of the heart,
Durantabhava, insuperable ecstasy, Parire
Vire,
embraced, Patim,
husband,
Nirudham, choked up,
Api,
in spite of,
Ashravat,
tears,
Ambo,
like drops of water,
Netrayoho,
from the eyes, Vilajatinam, of those situated in shyness. Brighuvarya,
O
chief of the Brighus.
Vaiklavat,
inadvertently. Translation, the insuperable ecstasy was so strong that the queens, who were shy, first embraced the Lord in the innermost recesses of their hearts, then they embraced the Lord visually, and then they sent their sons to embrace Him. Parentheses, which is equal to personal embracing. But, O chief amongst the Brighus, though they tried to restrain their feelings, they inadvertently shed tears. In the short purport here, by Srila Prabhupada. Although, let's turn the volume up. Better take care of it. Turn the volume up.
It's actually for my mic.
Oh, okay. Although, due to feminine shyness, there were many hindrances to embracing the dear husband, Lord Sri Krishna. The queens performed that act by seeing him, by putting him in the core of their hearts, and by sending their sons to embrace him. Still, the act remained unfinished, and tears rolled down their cheeks despite all endeavors to check them. One indirectly embraces the husband by sending the son to embrace him, because the son is developed as part of the mother's body. The embrace of the son is not exactly the embrace of the husband and wife, from the sexual point of view, but the embrace is satisfaction from the affectionate point of view. The embrace of the eyes is more effective in the conjugal relation, and thus, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, there is nothing wrong with in such exchange of feeling between husband and wife. Tamatma jaya drishtibhir antaratmana duranta bhava parire vire patim virudham apyashravat ambu netrayor vilajatina brigovarya vaiklavat. The insuperable ecstasy was so strong that the queens, who were shy, embraced the Lord in the innermost recesses of their hearts. Then they embraced him visually, and then they sent their sons to embrace him. But, O chief amongst the Brighus, though they tried to restrain their feelings, they inadvertently shed tears. Many times Prabhupada has said this quality of shyness is the crowning glory of a woman. And then he would elaborate that shyness is a woman's strength and power and attractiveness. And the contrast is those that are without shyness, there is no regard, no respect, no perceived value, or other than perhaps an object to try to exploit. But in contrast, Prabhupada once gave the story during his business days as a householder. There was a meeting going on inside someone's office, and the men had adjourned the meeting and were standing by the door just conversing, and a cleaning lady with her bucket and in a very humble and insignificant manner just stood at the door saying nothing, from the other side wanting to get through. So Prabhupada said, because of the shyness of the cleaning lady, these big men stood aside and let her pass very respectfully. And then he said, I could understand from that the power that shyness, feminine shyness, has. It can move big men, whereas if she had said, you know, get out of my way, here I come, you know, they're likely to get a different response. And then Prabhupada would elaborate that from a man's perspective, this quality of shyness is attractive. And from a spiritual perspective, it's the most important quality, most attractive and important quality for a woman, her shyness. And in the matter of rasa, one can see what kind of a valve that shyness plays. It's their husbands. Still, the feminine shyness was just an inherent quality, and so wanting to reciprocate or to demonstrate their affection for their husband, but at the same time being checked by some reserve of shyness, the sequence is described here. First within the core of their hearts, then with their eyes, and then sending their son as an expression of embrace. But still their emotions were very strong. And being checked by shyness, the emotions swelled. And the emotions, swelling of those emotions, came in the form of tears gliding down their cheeks, which they were trying to restrain because they wanted their husband, Lord Krishna, to be very happy. And how can their husband be happy if their wife is crying? And so they didn't want to display that emotion, but they couldn't check it. The feeling of, after long separation, the feeling of again meeting, there was such a joyful encounter for them. So, same point as from our discussions yesterday. These qualities are natural qualities that come from attachment to Krishna. When there's attachment to Krishna, all other good qualities will follow. And those other good qualities simply enhance the orchestration of loving exchange with Krishna. And that's the reason for a devotee to want to have nice qualities, is because it will enhance Krishna's pleasure. At the same time, one cannot acquire those qualities other than Krishna decorating one with those qualities. You can't go to Walmart and buy shyness. It's not a material product. It's something that's a quality that one can carry. And the fullness of that quality manifests in the heart of one who is attached to Krishna. And then go the other direction. One who is attached to Krishna, that quality naturally enhances the relationship with Krishna, the loving relationship with Krishna. So the queens were on that platform, completely attached to Krishna, and therefore this quality of shyness was their natural quality. And that natural shyness enhanced the exchange. Then go a step down and say someone isn't yet attached to Krishna. That does that mean that there should be no shyness? There should be shyness, but it's in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness, it's not the essence. While it's certainly very important in society, go the other direction. If there's no shyness on the side of the women, then it's havoc for the women and for the men and for the offspring produced by the combination of absent shyness women and men that would want to exploit and take advantage of such women. And then the product of that is the deterioration of society. So it leads to degradation, further degradation of qualities, and unwanted children and frustration and anger and just more tamagun in society if that one quality is missing. So it's a valuable quality. But how to train qualities that, say, parents of children that would like to see their daughter become shy without Krishna consciousness, without attachment to Krishna. It's cosmetic at best. And generally, it's absent. But even if it's there, then that shyness has its button. And the shyness is all of a sudden gone, and it becomes just the opposite. Because when the urge becomes stronger than shyness, shyness is gone. So shyness prevents degradation of society. The other way. Go the other way. Shyness enhances the elevation of other qualities within society. And it makes the woman who is shy seen by, at least by noble men, as a very, very, very valuable asset within society. therefore to be protected, to be respected. It brings respectability to the women class, shyness. It enhances the value of the role of women within society when that shyness is there. And so it's valued quality. Again, with Prabhupada's words, the most valuable quality, most and at the same time the most attractive quality. So, you know, those that don't have that sense of the attractiveness of shyness, they go the other direction, decorate themselves and parade around and try to, minus shyness, attract others. It deteriorates their good qualities and it leads to degradation. It invites exploitation in the name of attracting others. It's really Maya's trick. And so very naturally this quality of shyness is there in spiritually elevated souls and even morally elevated souls. But here the focus in the Bhagavatam is going to the enhancement of loving exchanges with Krishna. I want to go on to the next verse also. Text 33. The translation, it's still about this relationship with the queens. Although Lord Krishna was constantly by their sides, as well as exclusively alone, his feet appeared to them to be newer and newer. The goddess of fortune, although by nature always restless and moving, could not quit the Lord's feet. So what woman can be detached from those feet, having once taken shelter of them? Very beautiful. Purport. Conditioned living beings are always after the favor of the goddess of fortune. Although by nature she is moving from one place to another in the material world, no one is permanently fortunate, however clever one may be. There have been so many big empires in different parts of the world. There have been so many powerful kings all over the world. And there have been so many fortunate men. But all of them have been liquidated gradually. This is the law of material nature. But spiritually, it is different. According to Brahma Samhita, the Lord is served very respectfully by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. They are always in a lonely place also with the Lord. But still the association of the Lord is so inspiring, inspiringly newer and newer, that they cannot quit the Lord for a moment, even though they are by nature very restless and are moving about. The spiritual relation with the Lord is so enlivening and resourceful that no one can leave the company of the Lord once having taken shelter of Him. Next paragraph. The living beings are by constitution feminine by nature. The male or enjoyer is the Lord, and all manifestations of His different potencies are feminine by nature. In the Bhagavad Gita, the living beings are designated as para prakriti, or superior potency. The material elements are apara prakriti, or inferior potency. Such potencies are always employed for the satisfaction of the employer or the enjoyer. The supreme enjoyer is the Lord Himself, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 5:29. The potencies, therefore, when engaged directly in the service of the Lord, revive the natural color, and thus there is no disparity in the relation of the potent and potency. Last paragraph. Generally, people engaged in service are always seeking some post under the government or the supreme enjoyer of the state. Since the Lord is the supreme enjoyer of everything in or outside the universe, it is happiness to be employed by Him. Once engaged in the supreme governmental service of the Lord, no living being wishes to be relieved from the engagement. The highest perfection of human life is to seek some employment under the Lord's supreme service. That will make one extremely happy. One need not seek the moving goddess of fortune without the relation of the Lord. So the queens, they're all goddesses of fortune, or they're expansions of Srimati Radharani, or they're expansions of the goddess of fortune, or the goddess of fortune in the Vaikuntha realm, they're expansions ultimately of Radha. And so they have this internal potency position, and the internal potency has no interest or happiness outside of the Supreme, the Potent, Supreme Potent, the Lord. And so the queens, in the Leela that's being narrated, the queens had no interest other than being with Krishna. So naturally, when duty called and Krishna had to go to Hastinapur for the Kurukshetra battle, they were unable to exist without thinking of Him. They're inseparable. But then the rasa of separation, and then again the rasa of meeting, and then in His company, always in the surface of His lotus feet. And once having that association of His lotus feet, who could give up His lotus feet? And there's, of course, no interest on the part of the queens to do so. The position of the living entities who are conditioned by material nature have given up the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord in favor of trying to enjoy, separate from the Supreme Lord, His internal potency, which is a real perverted picture if you think of it from the dynamic of what the living entity is. The living entity is also Prakriti. And Prakriti wants to enjoy Prakriti as if Purusha, the reflection of that in this world, is what goes on with living entities trying to enjoy other living entities. One level of perversion is the man trying to enjoy the woman, or the woman trying to enjoy the man. Another level of perversion is men trying to enjoy men and women trying to enjoy women. And it's all just, it's layers of perversion from the original position. Original position is the shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, of the living entity, whether in the para-prakriti position as the marginal potency, or the goddess of fortune as the internal potency of the Lord. That's the healthy, natural, happy position, unlimited happiness. And once that unlimited happiness position is experienced, who can leave it? But the position of conditioned souls is, having left it, they're in mad pursuit of the goddess of fortune, or becoming fortunate in this world without God. And so Prabhupada, in a characteristic way, has described the history of such things happening and the elusiveness of that so-called fortune. whatever powerful position, maybe even generations in a long dynasty of kings, but after some time it's all taken away because the goddess of fortune is Chanchala. She's always moving. Because her position, there's no steady position for her in this world. There's only one steady position, and that's in relation to the Supreme Lord. So this fortune that people are looking for is just a reflection. It's not the real goddess of fortune. It's a reflection. That goddess of fortune that people worship is a reflection of the goddess of fortune as they worship apart from. So it's like, you know, a mirror making a reflection of light on a surface, a wall or something. Just a slight movement of the mirror, and very quickly reflected light moves a very big distance, because it's not the original object is not what people are attracted to. They're attracted to the reflection. The worship of the goddess of fortune apart from Narayan is worship of material opulence, but they'll never get that material opulence in any lasting fashion, even if there's some temporary manifestation where the light seems to shine on them. In just a moment, gone. In the moment of eternal time. And yet, persons will go on and on and on and on and on and on and on, pursuing that position. And that's delusion, that's the material existence. Then there's the total unregulated persons that don't have any form of worship. They just chase after illusion without any regulation from scripture. That's animal life. At least human life is following some type of regulation, but that human life is to bring one to transcendental life. And Bhagavatam is very clearly taking us to that transcendental life. Knowledge, the life of transcendental knowledge, is the Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name, Vidyavadhu Jivanam Param Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtana. So what woman can be detached from those feet, having once taken shelter of them? Any discussion? Questions? Yeah?
Kumar, so, for example, I have a service of fundraising for Krishna.
Yeah.
How would you recommend our consciousness, you prepare our consciousness to do such service?
Prabhupada was very, very clear. Return Lakshmi to Narayan. Very clear. That's the meditation. Ravana has kidnapped Sita. Bring Sita back to Ram. They're not thinking that they're Ravanas. And we don't necessarily have to have an attitude towards persons that, whoa, Ravan, give back Sita. But, you know, it can be done in a far more diplomatic way, but that's our... And it's beneficial for that individual that they return Sita to Ram. They return Lakshmi to the position of service of Narayan. They will benefit. Some persons understand that. Most persons don't. a nice example is it was Mother Jagadatri, Prabhupada disciple, who was really attracted to book distribution and to do book distribution. She would regularly go to the airports with the devotees and the airport distributors, and it's, you know, the whole scene is in a good sense aggressive, not in a bad sense, you know, but you go, we go out of our way to bring people who don't have in their mind, let me find a Bhagavad Gita Srimad Bhagavatam today at the airport or wherever they may be, to approach that person and introduce them to something that they didn't have in their mind. So Jagadatri asked Prabhupada, how can a woman do this service? Because to do this service there's all kinds of interactions with men. And Prabhupada gave the example, a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. You know, it's the, for service to Krishna, it's your shyness to perform this service on behalf of the disciplic succession. And certain behaviors are necessary in order to be effective. And then when you return back to the temple, in service to Krishna, you have a different decorum. So if there's service to Krishna to be done in the marketplace or the workplace or the world or civic affairs, then it's service to Krishna. And in service to Krishna, there's a degree of shyness. Certainly, you know, not outside of Krishna's pleasure will I do or speak anything. But for Krishna's pleasure, I'll do or speak anything on behalf of Krishna. The gopis, part of their shyness was that they would decorate themselves very nicely for the pleasure of Krishna. Not so they can get their man, but for the pleasure of Krishna. They would take the dust from their feet to give to Krishna for his headache. And that's a feature of transcendental shyness. For Krishna, anything. And then when it's not required, then like the tortoise withdrawing limbs within the shell. Let's say, you know, in the temple service, you have the Sunday school. So there may be some situation where you need to address something with the children and the parents, or a particular child and their parents. And so it's in the mood of humble service, you can do like that, and it's not contrary to shyness. It's the valve that brings refinement and elevated speech and other fine qualities. Carol, you have something?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, if you're in a situation where you temporarily have to be dealing with the material world in order to free yourself from it, then is there a way that you can maintain any uninterrupted emotional service while you're doing that?
Sure. Is there a way? You just, the consciousness behind the activity. Prabhupada's phrase is using a thorn to remove a thorn. You've heard that phrase before, yeah? It's a nice visual image. A thorn has its little hook at the end. So you may use the thorn to remove a thorn. So one may engage in activities of this world in order to purify one's mind and senses of the contaminations of being in contact with the material world. You utilize the material energy in order to regain the position of service to Krishna. And so the technique, the how-to technique, is to always internally stay in the consciousness, cultivate and stay in the consciousness of, this is for service to Krishna only. It will purify my existence. I'm taking up this activity because it will purify my existence. The other option, I have two other options. To not do that activity because it's involving myself and the material energy. And I don't want to be involved in the material energy, so I'll desist from activity. Rupa Goswami teaches that's an incomplete form of renunciation. If service to Krishna can be done, you do service to Krishna. But in that mood of service to Krishna. The other option is to let go of the idea of being in service to Krishna and just become the enjoyer of the situation. That's the material side, and that's what we're trying to get freed from. So, without a clear conception of devotional service, the pendulum swings the other way. Don't do activity. Karma sannyas. Give up activity. Because it's dirty. It's involved with matter. So I'll give up activity. And that's an incomplete form of renunciation. The complete form of renunciation is my identity as I'm Krishna's servant. Circumstantially, I'm in this place. Service to Krishna will purify my existence. The thorn removes the thorn. And that's my target. I want purification of existence. I want to please Krishna. And I can do so in this circumstance, that circumstance. And so, like the tortoise, the senses go to do service to Krishna. And when that service is complete, anything else? Okay. Yes.
Kumar, this is a question from last night.
Okay.
When Lord Chaitanya was going to Vrindavan, he stopped at Lankari
to give association to Sanatana and Rupa Goswami.
And at that point, Sanatana Goswami gave him advice to not go to Vrindavan in such an opulent manner.
Yes.
We've been instructed to never advise the spiritual master.
It was in a mood of serving him. And Lord Chaitanya understood that. It's like the other lila of Lord Chaitanya offering, because he was requested to do so, offering a recommendation to Ishwara Puri about a grammatical alteration in his book. It was in the mood of service, not in the mood of correction. And there's a certain amount of both intimacy and qualification. Another individual who would speak like this to Lord Chaitanya is Damodar Pandit. Damodar Pandit would from time to time make suggestions to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya appreciated, no one that does not have such an intimate relationship with me as you do, Damodar, could speak this way. And were it not of an intimate relation, it would then be in the matter of fault-finding, in the matter of intimate relation and qualification. Damodar Pandit spoke. So Lord Chaitanya said, you should go to Navadvip and stay with Mother Sachi and protect the residents of Navadvip from making mistakes. Because you can say anything and everyone will understand the mood with which you're speaking it. And everything will, my mother will be protected just by your being there. Go to Navadvipa. wasn't like, you know, get away from me, you're offensive. It's such a valuable resource. It was genuinely expressed in that mood, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood like that. He thought about it overnight, and the next day he accepted these words spoken by Sanatan. It's coming from Krishna. This is what Krishna wants. From our position, best to not assume that, you know, we have that confidential relation and such qualification as Sanatana Goswami or Damodar Pandit have. It adds to the glory of these two individuals that they had such qualification and such intimacy of relationship. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.